Started. So, okay, hello everyone. It says towards the end of Shlishi, right? Hashem heard about the struggles of the Jewish people. Vayishma Elohim es na'akasam, vayiskor Elohim es brisos, Abraham es Yitzchak es Yaakov. Hashem saw everything that was going on, that was happening with us. Vayar Elohim es bnei Yisrael, vayide Elohim. Hashem saw and Hashem knew. There's a famous there's a nitziv that I've quoted before. I don't know if it's famous or not famous. And I feel like the way I've taken this nitziv is not what I'm going to focus on. But I want to use the nitziv as a starting point. Right? The nitziv says, what does it mean by Yeda Elokim? Meaning it says, Hashem saw, Hashem knows everything. What's the additional expression? Hashem knew. So the nitziv has a very nice idea. And he said that part of Paro's scheme to get the Jewish people to be subjugated to him was to put them into this ghetto where people are going to be crammed in. There's going to be multiple families in one building. And it's going to be a situation where it's very unpleasant. I was going to read a line or two from the Nitziv. Hayalochetz osam b'makom echad, you would stuff them into one place. V'gam alze lo hayu tzokim klal. On that, Am Yisrael didn't cry out. Somebody who's stuck in that frame of mind doesn't know what he could be. I mean, he doesn't realize that he's missing something if he kind of is born and forced to be in a certain place. Hashem saw and he knew. That's why it says, even about what Am Yisrael was crying out because they were in pain, they were working very hard, they were exhausted, there were all sorts of tzaros, and that they cried out about. They didn't cry out about what they didn't know they could achieve. Meaning that Hashem saw these people. They don't realize how holy they could be, how much they could understand, how much they could learn, how much they could grow, because they were just literally physically squished into this kind of ghetto. And somebody in that frame of mind just doesn't have the ability to really appreciate what he could do, because he's just not in a healthy state mentally, psychologically. Okay. And I feel like, I don't know, last year in Rav Reich or in other times I talked about this Ramban, and the idea which I accept this, I think it's fine, it's a good, not for this Sichas Musar, but it's definitely a good idea, the idea that we see from this Nitziv, Baruch Hashem, we don't have ghettos nowadays, we don't put ourselves into these literal boxes, these little squished houses, but we do have the idea of kind of boxing ourselves into this very limited place where we don't realize our potential, we don't realize our abilities. Last year I talked a little bit about the importance of not having phones with us too much and in the base, but the idea of kind of technology literally just overwhelming our brains. And we don't realize what kind of attention spans we could have. We don't realize how much extra time we could have. We just don't realize how much our potential is because we're just wasting so much in different levels with our phones and with technology. Which is true. But that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on something else. The Nitziv says, I think there's a line I didn't read. Ha'inin she'adua de dira miruvachas marchiv daito shel adam. V'chein lahefech, dira dechuka v'harbe b'nei adam b'yachad mashpil daito shel adam. So the Nitziv says it's known. If you live in a nice house, there's space, it's nice, that's marchiv and daito, you're in a certain positive, happy frame of mind. And when you're stuffed in this little unpleasant house, you're in a low frame of mind. So how do we know that? We know because it's a Gemara, right? It's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, Shlosha marchiven daito shel adam. There are three things. I don't know, three, meaning why these examples, but I guess maybe three main areas where a person could experience this. There are three areas that are, I don't know, anybody have a good suggestion, marchiven daito shel adam? What is marchiven daito? It puts you in a good psychological state. Good, now we'll go with that. Okay, these are the three. Dira na'a, having a nice house. And that's what the Nitziv is referencing. Isha na'a, we talked about this in the Ramban a few weeks ago, the idea of having a beautiful wife. Vekelim na'im, and having pleasant things in your life. Pleasant things, nice couch, a nice car, a nice suit. Those are things that a person feels good about. Okay. The Rambam, in the Shmona Prakim, he talks about this. The Rambam is talking in general about how in life it's important to have goals. A person should realize what's important in life. Somebody has to realize, and for the Rambam, l'shita, so not, we don't have to always, all of us, follow this Rambam, but what the Rambam shita is, The goal of life is yidias, not necessarily like yidias in terms of bikias, but yidias of Hashem and of spirituality, of metaphysical ideas, of understanding the truths of the universe and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's the purpose of our existence as a Rambam. And therefore, it's very important to have proper midos, because if you're full of anger or full of jealousy, are you going to be able to understand these things? But the Rambam says you could have somebody who's perfect. He has great midos. He does everything he's supposed to do, but he's still not really doing anything productive with his life. I mean, it could be the person says, I want to have patience and I want to eat well. I want to be healthy just because I just do. I just want to be healthy. Why? It makes me feel good. So the Rambam says that person's not really accomplishing much. And then the Rambam says, this is going to be the Pesach to what I really want to talk about. When a person realizes what the purpose of life is, that's going to cut out a lot of things people do and a lot of speech people say, because you're like, what's the point? It's not necessary. Somebody who has a proper kavana, if he wants to really accomplish things in life, he's not going to have a desire to start engraving his walls with gold. Has anybody ever seen such a thing? I don't know. You have. Okay. People engraving. I guess that was a thing in the times of the Rambam. In the times of the Nevi'im, there's an idea of covering your walls with ivory. Okay. Things like that. You won't have any need for that. Oh, lasos rikumza bebeged, or to have some sort of embroidered clothing in your clothes. Elim kein yichavim bezel laharchiv nafsho. Unless you need it, and then the Rambam quotes this Gemara, laharchiv daito. It could be a person. It's actually a very interesting Rambam, very important. The Rambam talks about a person's learning all day. He just needs a break, the Rambam says. It's so stressful. You're using your mind so much. And sometimes you want to go outside, and you want to put on some nice clothes, sit in your nice house, a little bit of gold on the walls, and that kind of a. It puts you in a good place, because sometimes you need that to counterbalance the stress and the pressure of so much learning, understanding the truth of the universe. But that's what the Rambam says. But the Rambam says that it's important to use these things properly. It's also important to not use these things improperly, because it could be a person just going to miss the point of life if he makes the ikker the tuffle or the tuffle the ikker. What I want to talk about is as follows. For the next few minutes, not such a long sichas musar, whatever it is, 25 minutes or so, I want to talk about the idea of almost the opposite of what the Netziv is saying. What the Netziv is saying, based on our psukim, is that Am Yisrael and Mitzrayim, they had so little, right? They were stuffed together in these houses. And the Gemara says that Dira Na'e is Marchivin Daito Shel Adam. And they had a Dira very much not Na'e. It was very not nice. It was very unpleasant. And somebody in that frame of mind just isn't in a healthy place to be able to appreciate his potential to serve Hashem properly. What the Rambam is saying is you could also have the opposite problem. You could have somebody who is so in Dira Na'e, so in the materialism. He's so in the just going after, you know, the gold for his walls and the gold for his clothes. That person also, he puts himself into a place where he doesn't realize what the purpose of life is. In the Netziv's shot, he doesn't realize because he can't psychologically. He's just forced there. And for the Rambam, it's that he chooses that through his own choices to be in that place where he also can't see what's the purpose. And he misses out on so much. I want to talk a little bit about that. What I'm saying is also for myself. You know, I also have, you know, whatever, also weaknesses, and also it's not just saying it's not because it's the chesmos, you have to say this, but I'm really saying, I'm also talking to myself. It's good. I'll let you guys in on a secret. If all about myself, I don't know about other rabbanim. If I wasn't a rav or wasn't giving shir, so I feel like I would have less motivation or less opportunities to work on these things and to be focusing on these things. It's not that I feel like somebody who's a rav, so therefore he's just good at he's good at working on his midos. He's good at I don't know, whatever. It's that Davka, he doesn't want to be what's the word I'm looking for? He doesn't want to be a hypocrite, and he also just is thinking about, he's learning these sugyas and he's thinking about these things. So it helps you stay focused, but it's more that the role helps you grow, and not that you're a great person, whatever. Not that you're a person who deserves to be there, and then you get the job, whatever. That's to be discussed further. But I want to say as follows. Okay. Our world is very interesting. A lot of interesting things in our world. I don't read so many of these, like, Shabbos magazines. But when I do pick up a magazine every now and then, And there's a difference between like English, like actual proper magazines, and Israeli Aloni Shabbat. We had a joke in our family a few weeks ago. I was joking with my kids, let's all go to Morocco. It's only 10,000 shekels per person. It's 6 nights. It's going to be awesome. So it was like a big joke because we're not going to go to Morocco. But why are we joking about this? Because in the back cover of like the Alon Shabbat, it was talking about the different trips. I just thought it was, I guess people like going to Morocco. I don't know. But it's to me, it just seemed like a funny idea to go to Morocco for 6 nights and spend 10,000 shekels and times whatever, times eight, it would be, you know, it's a lot of money and it was a good joke. It was a good shtick. But the alonim, which is what the little Hebrew things are called, and maybe even more so. I don't subscribe to any American from magazines, but when I've dabbled every now and then, I'm just staggered by the ads. I'm staggered by the ads. Like every other page, it's either about remodeling your kitchen or finding the most expensive shaitel, or just these fancy food products or vacations or camps, or it's just like, when did this happen? Because I don't know, I when I was growing up, I feel like things weren't quite at this standard. In terms of vacations, in terms of shalachmanos, in terms of dress, in terms of foods, in terms of restaurants, we've gotten to a place where we're very, very materialistic. And that's very, very harmful. I want to talk about what does it mean to be materialistic? Meaning, Baruch Hashem, if Hashem blesses somebody with money, we don't believe in being, in being monks. We don't believe that we're supposed to be prushim. We don't believe that we're not supposed to enjoy the world. Lehefech, if Hashem gives somebody the ability, echad amar be'echad amamit, to enjoy His world, so he should enjoy His world. So where is the problem? What is materialism that's bad? What's the hagdara? So to understand this properly, I want to go to a Ramban. I think it's a famous Ramban, but for those who learn Ramban together, definitely, well, we talk about this Ramban, but I'm saying not yet. We didn't get there yet this year, but in Nitzavim. Right? So in Parashas Nitzavim, it talks about that Am Yisrael is entering this bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's towards the end of the Torah. We do have all the klalos and the tochacha, and everybody had to accept it. So it says at the beginning of the parasha, lest there be a person who's going to come some point in history, he's going to hear all about these curses. He's like, no, it's okay, I don't have to do this, Hashem's not going to punish me, it's not so bad. So Hashem says, no, I won't forgive you. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem says He won't forgive you, and it's going to be, Hashem's going to punish that person, fine. But it says in a pasuk there, a very cryptic phrase, which the Ramban's going to discuss. Vaya bishamos divrei ha'alazos, he's going to hear the words of this curse. He's going to tell himself in his heart, it's fine, it's everything's going to be fine. I'm going to go according to the whims of my heart. In order to be Sfos Haravas Hatzmeya. The simple translation, Sfos is Lashon of Hosafa. To add on, the Rava, somebody who drank a lot and he feels like his thirst was quenched. Es Hatzmeya. You're going to add on the guy who's quenched to the guy who's thirsty. So even maybe it was a figure of speech, maybe like, well, what does it mean? How do you translate that? So a very yesodistic Ramban, Ayin Sham, we're not going to read it inside, but the Ramban has the following yesod. The Ramban says, we're talking about the following person. The person is all in all a good person. You know, he does what Hashem wants, more or less, but he has this temptation, a little bit of Avodah Zarah. We can't really relate to the taiva of Avodah Zarah, but apparently it was a taiva. So the person thinks to himself, listen, it's not so bad. And we know from Tanakh, we know from archaeology that there are people who were Jewish and meaning from, like they were doing mitzvahs, they also were serving Avodah Zarah. This is happening, unfortunately, throughout Tanakh. So the person says, it's not so bad. So the Ramban says, that person, Laman Sfos Haravas Hatzmaya, this person in general was Rava. He wasn't so thirsty for chait. He wasn't so thirsty for taiva. Once he gives in a little bit, so as opposed to that quenching his thirst, it actually makes him thirstier. Quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, but the idea that we'll talk about it a little bit from the Alei Shur he's gonna elaborate. But the Ramban says there's the Yesod when it comes to Yetzer Hara, when it comes to Taiva, when it comes to Chait, that the more one kind of submits, the less satisfied he feels, but the more it kind of just. It just makes his appetite even greater. So the pasuk is saying, this person says it's not so bad. I'll have a little bit, and you think that's going to satisfy you. You're okay now, more or less. But it's actually going to make you craving for more and more. That's what the Ramban says. Alei Shur Revolbi, he explains this. He says as follows. He quotes from a Mishnah in Perkei Avos. That's I forget the lashon. You have to be right a rutz to do a mitzvah and berech min ha'avera. So it says, I think he's quoting also Rav Chaim Volozhin on his parish on Avos, but it says Ravobi that there's a little bit of inconsistency in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says you have to run to do a mitzvah and you have to run away from doing an avera. So that's not fair. That means if you don't do anything, somehow the avera is going to overwhelm you. It's going to catch up to you. You have to run away. And the mitzvah you're never going to catch. You have to chase the mitzvah. So that's not fair. Make it the same. Either they have to chase after both, you have to run away from both. Why is he have to chase after the mitzvah and run away from the avera? So Rav Chaim Volozhin, I think Rav Volbi expands upon this. He says is that Hashem wanted to give people bechira. He wanted to give us bechira. We have to choose the right thing. So if it would actually be the same, we'd actually have a taiva to wake up in the morning for davening, as much as we have for doing whatever, or lefech, we didn't really feel strongly about anything. So we'd always choose to do the right thing, because why wouldn't we? You know, why wouldn't we? It satisfies us as much, and there's no reason we wouldn't. So therefore, Hashem made the world that we have a certain taiva for things which are not good for us spiritually, and we don't have a taiva for things that are good for us spiritually. It could be once a person starts learning and doing mitzvos, it's not a taiva, but he realizes the beauty of it and the depth of it, and he'll want to do it more, and he'll value that even more. But at the superficial, basic level, you don't have a taiva to do a mitzvah. We have a taiva to do an avera. And then Rav Volbi develops the idea, and what's the nature of that taiva, and therefore what do we want to get out of it? What are we trying to look for? So the answer is, we're not looking for anything. We're not looking for anything. What does that mean? That means that if a person, he gives the example, let's say, of fashion, like of new fashion. So he says, we have a certain desire, you know, to look good, okay? And we want to get the most up-to-date fashion. But it's not actually that there's a need. If we have clothes that are comfortable or clothes that are nice looking, we don't have a need for something new. So why do we have a taiva? It just is. It's how Hashem made us. There's certain things we just desire. What need? What does it give us? It doesn't actually give us anything. It's just an app. We just want it for the way Hashem made the bria. We just want it, but there's actually no inherent need for it. And therefore, as the Ramban says, the more you give into it, the more you kind of just let yourself go to this taiva. Because there's nothing there, you're never going to be satisfied. And the more you kind of let your guard down, that you're not kind of working on yourself, the more you just kind of let your midos, weaken to do this avera. So it doesn't actually satisfy you. Lefach, you just need it more and more, or want it more and more, because it's not giving you anything. So taking this back to what I started with a few minutes ago, what does it mean to be materialistic? To me, what it means to be materialistic is spending money on things which we have no real need for no purpose. For no purpose. What do I mean, no purpose? Let's say, for example, let's say somebody is getting a new phone. Okay, so the question is, why are you getting a new phone? Is it because your old phone is slow or doesn't have enough memory or it can't do certain things that new phones can do? Then good, you have a need. You have a need for a new phone. But are you getting a new phone because there's a newer phone available? But what is it about the newer phone that you need? It has a slightly better camera that only if you're somebody who like studies these things like very carefully will you realize the very subtle differences, which don't make any difference to us, about the quality of the camera. So you don't actually need the new phone. We only need the new phone because we've convinced ourselves that somehow that'll make us happy or that'll be good. There's no need there, okay? That would be materialism. If somebody is just getting a new phone because it's new. Not because not because it's actually inherently better or his old phone is inherently bad, just because he wants to get the new thing. Let's say a person is looking to buy a new shirt, okay? And he goes to the store and he sees, there's 70% of the store I'm not even going to look at. Why? Because it's not the brand I'm looking for. Is it because those other brands aren't as good quality? You think they're not going to wear as well? They're not going to wash as well? They're not going to last as well? Or just because it doesn't have the right picture, you know, over here. You know, what are we actually looking for when we're getting clothes? If we actually are just getting it because it's the right brand, even though there's nothing inherently better, that is materialism. You know, we're looking for something, but it has no purpose. It's just because. And part of all of what I'm saying to you is not a criticism. Meaning, I feel like it's maybe, I don't want to even say because it's, I don't want to, maybe it's a criticism of our society, criticism of our community a little bit. It's not of you because everybody's a product of where they're coming from. But the goal is at least to open up our eyes and start thinking about these things more. And Emirat Hashem, for example, let's say a person wants to remodel or buy a nice house. Question is, why? Meaning, what is it? Because, again, marchivin daito shel adam, that's legitimate. You could have a nice house. But it gets to a certain point, you're not actually getting anything out of it. Your house is fine the way it is. You're just doing it because, you know, people expect it from you, because the neighbors did it, because you somehow think it's going to make you feel good about yourself, but then it's not actually giving you anything. That is materialism, in my mind. So again, based on this Ramban and everything we're saying is Alei Shur, what's the Hagdara of materialism? I think it means somebody who's spending money or just doing something for no inherent need. There's no need. That doesn't fill a need. That is materialism. And that's very, very harmful. Why is it so harmful? Okay, why is it so harmful to be so involved in materialism? There are two things I want to talk about which are related to each other. One is that I think that, and you know, it seems maybe a little bit ironic, but I think it's not in light of everything we've been saying. It doesn't actually bring simcha. Okay, it doesn't make us happy. It does not make us happy to be materialistic. Why not? Why does it not make us happy? So first of all, this is not going to be the focus either. People could overspend and spend, you know, they don't have enough money to actually, you know, support their lifestyle, and it could lead to jealousy. Okay, those are all true. But even more inherently than that, maybe for another reason, there's a, right, we have the minhag, we read Koheles on Sukkot, and Shabbos Chol Hamoed, Sukkot we read Koheles, which is very, you ever like actually read the English of Koheles, it's a pretty big downer, meaning it's pretty, it's not the happiest sefer. And the question is, why if Sukkot is Manzim Chaseini, we're reading Koheles, which is so much about Hevel Havalim, everything is futile, everything is dumb, what's the point? So I think in the art scroll, Machzor, it says something about, you know, to kind of to temper the simcha so it doesn't get out of hand, which it could be that's a mahalach. But the way I always thought about it, or lefi ani yastaiti, it could be exactly the opposite. We're not trying to take away simcha. We want to make real simcha. Meaning, well, if Sukkot is man simcha seinu, and we're taking in times of the Torah, we're taking in all of our crops from the fields, and we have all so much money, and we're so happy about it, just like the Torah says, "Tzemi diras karela diras arai," so too we're saying, Koheles, put yourself out of that for a second. Really, this is not the ikker. It's hevel havalim. It's hevel havalim. The money is hevel. The new car is hevel. The new house, the bigger house is hevel. Once you really think that it's not what's going to make you happy, then it'll make you happy. What do I mean? I mean, if you think the ikker is avodas Hashem, the ikker is the family, the ikker is appreciating that you're healthy and you have so much bracha in your life, if that's what you think is really the main purpose of existence, then having a nice house is marchivin daito shel adam, and having a nice car is marchivin daito shel adam, and everything is a sameach. But if you just think of those things as the goal in and of itself, you're just never going to be happy. You're not going to be happy because it's an appetite you can't fill, and it just you're filling your life with emptiness, and that leaves people unhappy. I mean, I saw a study today. I was Googling a bit. I think it's something like the majority of high school girls in America have severe, I don't know if it was depression, but severe lack of happiness. For boys, it was something like 35%. Like, it wasn't quite as bad. But for girls, it was like 54%. It was something like, on average, like teenagers in America, or high schoolers in America, have something like 40-something. It was like severe, like, I don't want to say the wrong terms. I don't think it was depression. That seems a bit crazy. But just a severe lack of happiness, something like that. We live in a society that's the most successful, you know, that we've been in who knows, in human history, one of the most successful. People are able to afford all sorts of things, but that doesn't make you happy. It doesn't make you happy. So I think the first reason why it's important to kind of remind ourselves of how we spend our money and how, you know, in terms of materialism, because at the end of the day, people are thinking that's going to make them happy. It's not going to make them happy. It could be if you are a happy person because you realize what's the ikker in life. Those things are then going to be able to, you know, you'll enjoy them. They're wonderful. They're a bracha, and you'll thank Hashem for them, and you'll get simcha from them. But only if the basis is not them. If the basis is them, then that leaves you empty and with a lot less money. So that's the first thing. The second thing, right, a little story. I didn't know who it was. I thought it maybe was the Grizz, but I think I saw it from Aaron Cutler. But there's a story about Rav Aaron Cutler that somebody came to him. It was a big, let's assume, to Lakewood, a big veer, a big donor. And he said, "No, I have a son, and he's gonna be a zvulun, meaning he's gonna be somebody supporting a lot of Torah, and I teach him the chashivas of Torah, and I know he's gonna learn for a few years. He's gonna be a big supporter." So Rav Aaron Cutler said to this father, you know, okay, what about his Olam Hazeh? He's going to get Olam Haba. He's going to get Olam Haba. He's going to get if he suffers willingly, supporting Talmud Torah. What about his Olam Hazeh? What about his Simcha in this world? I mean, to say you really wanted to live in that world full of stress, that world full of what really makes a person happy in this world? I think ties into what we're saying. I want to say something in addition, which is maybe even more important. I don't know. Hard to weigh these things. What's more important? One reason why materialism is dangerous is because it just doesn't. It doesn't make you happy. But more than that, it leaves you, I don't know, dead spiritually. It might be a little bit too intense, but it leaves you empty spiritually. There's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos about, right, the Memches Dvarim that Torah is nicknamed by him. So one of them is Miut Tainug, right? One shouldn't be too engaged in Tainug, engaging in this world. Okay. The Maharal on that Mishnah asks, it was the Mishnah right before, right, that says Kachi Darka Shel Torah Pasim Melech Tochel Mayim Mitzur Tishte Al Aretz Tishan Chai Tzar Tichye. So the Mishnah says you should be mitzar yourself if you want to really be Kone Torah, and then it says Miut Tainug, which seems like it's fine, just don't overindulge. So it says the Maharal, what's the pshat? It's one or the other. So Maharal, it's not the Maharal who says this first. The Rishonim already say this, but when the Mishnah says Kachi Darka Shel Torah, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to live that way. It doesn't mean you're supposed to have a little bit of bread, a little bit of water, sleeping on the floor. It means if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to be willing to do those things. If you're in a situation where the options are learning, at you know, in those conditions, or giving everything up, so if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to be willing to do that, even though it's very, very hard. But is that what we want? No, we don't want that. We want people to be able to enjoy themselves. But says the Maharal, but somebody who doesn't have to do that, he can afford to also learn and also enjoy himself, then that's good. But then we say, even then, miut tainug. But don't overindulge. Why should you not overindulge? Because he says that tainug is tavos gufanios v'zeh hefecha Torah. Meaning, what's the Maharal saying, if I'm understanding the Maharal correctly? I think he's saying that if somebody thinks that these things are so important, that exactly, you know, having the fanciest clothes or the fanciest vacations or the fanciest car, so that person's values are that this is important, that he just can't be a Talmud Chacham, or he can't even be a true deep Oved Hashem, because that's actually not what's important. What's important is being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is being a better person, being a holy person. So that's what he should value. And then those other things, that he's going to have a different perspective. If he really thinks those things are important, so then that it just a chisaron in his avodas Hashem. So just to have a little bit of tanung, that's fine. That's good. But if it's really the way that sometimes it seems to me in our world is such a focus, it's just inconsistent. How could you truly say, I want to grow as a person, be close to Hashem, and spending so much of your focus on materialistic things? Like, it's just, you can't be a true Oved Hashem that way. So, let's, I feel like there's something else I wanted to say about that point, but I forget what it was. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about just wrapping all these things up. And maybe some practical things about how we could maybe try to think about these things differently, maybe apply it a little bit. So we started off that Hashem saw all of our suffering, Hashem saw all of our work and all of our tzar, and then it says Hashem saw also vayed elokim, and Hashem knew. So the Netziv says, what does it mean Hashem knew? There are certain things even we weren't aware of. We didn't realize, meaning we realized we were suffering, we realized we were slaves, we didn't realize other things. What did we not realize? We didn't realize a part of Paro's plan was sticking us into these ghettos and how much that was really affecting us. We just weren't in a good place psychologically. We didn't know what kind of potential we had. We didn't know what it meant to really serve Hashem. And we didn't even know that. So Hashem saw that. And Hashem responded to that. But we didn't even know. The idea of kind of being caught in this place of mitzarim, of being very limited without being aware of it. And for the Netziv and for the Parsha, it's because what's limiting us is the lack of proper facilities, a lack of enough materialism, and that a lack of enough time. But in our world, I think it could be what's limiting us is exactly the opposite. You know, Baruch Hashem, you know, that we have so much bracha. But what's limiting us sometimes is exactly the opposite, an abundance of tainug, an abundance of materialism. And what I was trying to say was that based on the Ramban, based on Ravolbi, is that what it means to be materialistic is somebody who spends money in a way that's not coming to serve any specific goal. It's not coming to fill a certain need. It's just a goal in itself. And that can never be filled. And that can never make a person happy. Such materialism, I think, is very harmful psychologically. It's also very harmful spiritually. We can't be true of the Hashem. So just a couple, ha'aros of how we can maybe try to apply this a little bit. So first of all, we have some alumni with us, and you guys in Yirat Hashem will be alumni at some point. And after Shalavim, you're going to go to YU or go to wherever you might go, Landers. Maybe you speak to Yedidya, who's interested. And then, and you guys are going to be thinking about what you want to do professionally, which is one of the most important decisions of your life. And I think that it's very important to keep this in mind. It's important to have a parnasa that you'll be able to support yourself, Yirat Hashem, be able to support your family, hopefully be able to get back to the community. But sometimes when you're making these decision calls about, you know, what kind of career do I want, or maybe within the career, what level do I want to be in this career at, keep in mind that having the most money isn't necessarily the right answer. Meaning you have to think about what's good for you in terms of what's the ikar? What do you want? What do you want in life? And then the job has to work around that, as opposed to making job the life. We're going to miss out on a lot that way. Like the Rambam says, if the ikar is putting gold on your walls or gold on your clothes, then chabal. How much do we miss out on? In terms of how we buy clothes, in terms of how often we replace our tech, in terms of what kind of vacations we go on, and again, and all these things, I'm not saying anything. There's no right or wrong answer to any of these things. It could be for somebody, he says, I want to go on this vacation. To somebody else, it could seem extravagant. For the other family, it could be like, no, this is our way. Everybody in the family really likes X, Y, and Z. Everybody just really needs a break to go away from everything. This is our opportunity to recharge and get close as a family. Beautiful, that's great. But sometimes people might make the decision, well, if everybody's flying for winter break, so we also have to fly. I mean, if there's no need, if there's no actual, you're not accomplishing anything. That's what I'm talking about. And we should just dive into Hashem as you get older, in terms of also what kind of community you want to live in, what kind of values you want to give to your kids. I was very proud of one of my kids, this week. I have kind of weird, whatever, it's okay, old pajama pants, probably like 20-year-old pajama pants, okay? But they have like a little Tommy Hilfiger like thing, because they're Tommy Hilfiger pajama pants. So thank you, everyone. So my child is like, why do you have Tommy Hilfiger pajama pants? I'm like, okay, first of all, try to explain to him really what TJ Maxx is. You know, it's very hard. They probably cost like $12 from 20 years ago. Bubby got them for me. I didn't buy them. But the fact that, why do you need the Tommy Hilfiger pajama? Like, why do you need that? What is it actually, are they actually better than the other pants? And I guess the TJ Maxx, if they're the same price, then fine. But Stam, in terms of how we spend our money, it's not just about money, because Hashem, Baruch Hashem, he gave it b'shefa, so people can spend it. But the ikar is, what are you trying to accomplish? What do we want to get out of that? And Yirtza Hashem, Hashem should bless all of us with a lot of shefa of ruchnius, a shefa of gashmius. And we should be able to use everything he gives us to enjoy his beautiful world, to be able to give back to people in the community, to be able to enjoy ourselves, but always in a way where hopefully it's, where that's not the ikar. The ikar should be avodas Hashem and Torah and mitzvos and family and the community. And if on top of that we're able to enjoy ourselves, be able to have a certain level marchiv and daito shel adam and to appreciate Hashem's bracha, so beautiful. But it should never chalila be something which kind of blinds us to what it means to be true of Eid Hashem. Adkan.